Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
Good morning. This Wednesday is so busy here on O'Connor & Company, and we're going to keep you up to date on the latest primary results yesterday. I know you're tuning in to find out what's going on in Pennsylvania, a very closely watched race for the Republican nomination for Senate. And the answer is we don't have results quite yet. It's still too close to call. In the latest count we got, Dr. Oz, he's pulled ahead, by a fraction of a point over Dave McCormick. It looks as though Kathy Barnett is not going to get that nomination, although she was a late surge there at the end. She got a lot of attention. It looks like it's now between Oz and McCormick, and we shall see how that develops as the morning goes on and ballots continue to be counted. Also coming up at 6:35, Cal Thomas will be our guest. 7:05, Dave Bossie will be here. 7:15, the governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin. And then at 8:35, Kash Patel will join us. And then sprinkled throughout the morning as well, we're going to be talking to candidates across the board for that Virginia 10 nomination. The primary is this Saturday. Bethany Mandel is with us all morning long as well. I didn't introduce you yet. There's a lot to do, Bethany.
There's a lot. Just focus on what's important, Larry.
Did you used to watch Dr. Oz, by the way? Were you one of the... I never got into him.
He is
very popular.
I was put off by a lot of his sort of, you know, the pills of get well quick.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
His infomercial kind of things.
It kind of detracts from your medical expertise.
Yeah. We'll see if the Trump endorsement and the idea, the big narrative there was that he's the guy who can win.
Yeah.
Which is a compelling argument to make in a primary, mm-hmm. honestly. People say, oh, you know.
Name ID.
Yeah. Did we not just discover what happened with Donald Trump for crying out loud? Let's you know, learn a lesson. So we'll see what happens there. In the meantime, there's a developing story coming out of Twitter, and this one doesn't necessarily involve Elon Musk directly. It involves James O'Keefe and his group at Project Veritas, yet another hidden video. I want to pause here for a moment because, frankly, my favorite part of this Project Veritas video happens at the very end. Did you see this by any chance, the video?
I watched some of it, but I didn't watch through the end.
At the very end, the Twitter executive in question, they actually talk about Project Veritas at one point.
Oh, really?
And he talked to this Twitter exec who's caught on hidden camera, says, well, you know, I think what happens is these people who get caught on hidden camera, they end up going out on dates with people and they are trying to impress them. So they say a bunch of stuff to them. And, you know, it's just that's the dangerous thing about meeting people on dating apps, because they might be out there trying to trap you. So it's a good thing. You know, that's why you and I, we met organically. Otherwise, I'd be really suspicious of you.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And it's actually exactly what I think this is one of the secret sauces that James O'Keefe has, is that he either gets very attractive young women who will go out on dates with people and get them to talk. And, of course, guys try to impress. Or, in some cases, I think it's a dude. It's like a gay situation, a gay relationship.
Yeah. I mean, whatever it is, he's got the magic.
He does.
I went to college with James. We've been friends for many years.
At Rutgers.
Yeah, yeah.
Scarlet
and he yes. Wow, look at you. I'm so impressed. And he was able to sort of scare people into being more sort of open with their beliefs, because they didn't want to be seen as, you know, the bad guys. And so one of my favorite James O'Keefe moments was he got all the dining halls to pull Lucky Charms because they were racist against Irish people.
Yes.
And they were all so scared to just say, this is nonsense, because you cannot ever, you know, push back against that narrative.
Right.
And so... So I think that's part of his secret.
Well,
also,
now that we've lost the Redskins, I will not rest until they get rid of the Fighting Irish as the as the mascot for Notre Dame. I'm Irish, and I've never been in a fight in my life.
Yeah, well, the morning is young. It's only 6:10.
So here's this executive from Twitter caught on camera in the latest Project Veritas expose.
Right now, we don't make profit, so it's going to say ideology, which is what's led us to not being profitable.
The rest of us who have been here believe in something that's good for the planet and not just to give people free speech.
Here you go. We're not about free speech. We're not about profit. We don't care. This is about ideology. This is about, you know, changing the world. Yep. It's not about free speech. I mean, here's the greatest thing about Project Veritas videos, and before Project Veritas, the hidden videos that James O'Keefe did with my old friend and mentor, Andrew Breitbart, the Acorn videos. The best part about these hidden camera exposés is that it confirms what we all pretty much already knew.
Yep.
This is what they're already saying. We know this is what they're doing and saying. They would just never do it, and they knew a camera was rolling.
Yeah.
We want it to be as fair and transparent and accurate as possible.
Yeah.
And if that means there's a level of censorship to make it correct, quote unquote, again, and what does correct mean? I guess like, it just kind of goes back to the idea of like, well, what is correct?
That's right. So he's basically rationalizing the censorship, the rampant censorship, and it's all shot. Here's the biggest problem with censorship is that somebody gets to be the censor.
Yep.
And so it's their personal judgment about what's appropriate and what isn't. And listen, I guess Twitter is their sandbox. They can make the rules on how you play in it, but at least be honest about it.
Yeah, and that's the thing that is sort of most frustrating about all of these corporations is that they act as though we don't know the game. We all know the game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, over the course of the last few weeks with all of this conversation about Elon Musk, the trending topics on Twitter have been more balanced.
Oh, there's been such a change already at Twitter. It's obvious. Just the threat of this purchase.
They're licking their finger and putting it in the air. And I think they feel the way the wind is blowing.
About time.
Yeah.
Speaking of Elon Musk, you'll remember when he hosted Saturday Night Live, he talked openly about the fact that he has what has often been referred to as Asperger's syndrome. I think that they don't use that term anymore, people within the autism community.
Yeah.
But it is a part of being on the autism spectrum, highly functioning. I don't want to use the word case, but an example of being on the autism spectrum. Here was Elon on Saturday Night Live.
I'm actually making history tonight as the first person with Asperger's to host SNL.
So this Twitter exec raises this, again, on hidden camera. He doesn't know, and here's what he says.
We're saying all these rules, that there's, and Elon wants to dismantle them, then technically our ideology has led us to not making money, because we're not making money. And Elon wants to turn it the other way so that we can make money.
There's a statement they need all 7,000 people to say. And so they can't, like, tell us that, like, the real truth.
He has Asperger's.
Yeah, I know that.
So he's special. Your special needs. You're literally special needs. So I can't even take what you're saying seriously.
He's making fun of Elon Musk because he has Asperger's.
Yeah.
And he's mocking him, saying, oh, he has special needs. And by the way, that kind of mocking of somebody with Asperger's or any other kind of disability, that's the sort of thing that can get you banned on Twitter.
Yeah, right. So what I find interesting, so one of my favorite books about autism is by Steve Silverberg. It's called Neurotribes. And basically half of Silicon Valley is on the spectrum.
Yes.
And it is.
Oh, you can't tell me Mark Zuckerberg is
no,
not
absolutely
spectrum.
Not. And so every time someone sort of calls him a robot, I'm like, oh, well, yeah, stop.
Yeah.
But that kind of derogatory, sort of snide sneering is not going to help him in his next few jobs, because literally half of Silicon Valley is on the spectrum. And it's what makes Silicon Valley Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Turns out neurodiversity has some benefits.
Yeah, I certainly would agree with that, especially when it comes to my own child. It's 6:15. Bethany Mandel, as you know, the truth is out there.
I'm so excited.
Are you?
You texted us about this last night, and I made a conscious decision not to look at anything so that we could save it for the radio.
Okay.
Tell me everything that happened yesterday.
Well, I wish I could. But, you know, no, it's weird to me that they actually had an open hearing in the United States House of Representatives about UFOs and about these recent spate of videos that we've seen that the Navy has put out showing their pilots actually engaging with what can only be described as unidentified flying objects.
Yeah.
Now, let's just be clear here. Just because something is a UFO does not mean that it is an alien spacecraft.
Except that it is, yes.
Okay. UFO literally means it is an object that is flying and has yet to be identified.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many experts look at these videos and they say, well, this defies all physical understandings of flight that we know of here on planet Earth. Yes. Therefore, it must be correct. An alien craft.
That is the correct answer.
I don't know if I'm willing to go quite that far.
So,
I mean,
I've been saying this for, today is May 18th. I've been saying this. This is the year of the alien. 2022 is the year of the alien. 2020 and 2021 was, you know, COVID, whatever. That was sort of the runway.
So does this make a difference to you if you were to find out that there was... No, I think that's the bigger question. But, and by the way, just I'll cut to the chase. No, nothing was answered yesterday.
Right,
there was in fact, we had some congressmen who were literally saying that they want to... What is it with people in Congress who want to punish people in the media that are saying things they don't like? But they actually raised the specter because Tucker Carlson's been exploring this quite a bit on his program.
I love Tucker.
And they want to punish media people and reporters and journalists who speculate about UFOs because, you know, but you can't be saying things like that. Stop with the totalitarian instincts.
It's because they know that the truth is out there and they can't have the truth be known.
Here's an official from the Defense Department on that. Do we have
information out there that could be considered to be somewhat self-serving? We're trying to do what's in the best interest of one, the Department of Defense, and then two, what's in the best interest of the public, to ensure that we can put factual-based information back into the mainstream and back into the bloodstream of the reporting media that we have, so people understand what's there. It's important because we are attempting, as this hearing has drawn out, to understand, one, what may just be natural phenomenon, two, what may be sensor phenomenology.
When there's somebody from the Pentagon telling you that, you know, they'll be totally transparent and they'll deliver all the information, trust them, and we need to hold media personalities accountable if they say things that the Pentagon doesn't approve of, I'm sorry, that raises a few red flags for me, given the history.
I mean, after the last 2 years, I'm willing to shut my eyes and cover my ears and just do whatever the government tells me to do.
Exactly.
Because I don't see it backfiring in any way.
Matt Walsh over at Daily Wire took to Twitter and said, the government literally admitted that we're being invaded by space aliens today and you people don't even care.
I know.
He then followed up and said, okay, but they may not have admitted it exactly, but... I choose to interpret the events in this way and live in my truth. And that's sort of, as usual, we have no more clear information about whether there are aliens invading our planet or not, or even visiting us. Certainly nothing specific about the anal probes, but people are going to take what they want from this.
So at 5 a.m. we talked about the cervix and the fundus, and at 6 a.m. we talked about the anal probes.
Yes.
Wow. Good morning, Washington, D.C.
It's part of our business model. but honestly, the bigger question here, whether there is evidence of it or not, does anyone's worldview, you hold
to your
religious faith pretty seriously. Yeah. I do as well. If you showed me absolutely undeniable evidence that there is life on other planets, it literally would make no difference to me.
So it's funny because I asked this. So I never, ever use Facebook. I just think it's like the worst thing ever. And I took to Facebook several months ago before I started my kitchen renovation project. I swear this is related. And I said, before I install a second dishwasher, because we don't mix milk and meat. And so I have my dishwasher is only for my meat pots and pans and plates and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I desperately want a dairy one because I'm sick of washing my dairy dishes by hand. Mm-hmm. And so I said, before I install a dairy dishwasher, I would like to know if all of this UFO stuff will impact the Jewish stuff.
Leviticus laws.
I'm going to hold off on a second dishwasher and a whole kitchen renovation. Right. If this, you know.
Why keep kosher?
I know.
If there's life on Mars.
I know. And so I don't want to renovate my whole kitchen until I can get some answers. Yeah. And I was assured by multiple rabbinic sources in my Facebook friends circle that it will not impact in any way. And so, you know what I did yesterday? I'll tell you, Larry, before I tell my husband.
Please do.
I signed a contract to renovate my kitchen.
Hey, congratulations.
And thank God he doesn't listen.
I was going to say, there's a scream coming from Silver Spring right now.
He does not know I signed. I told all of my children to not tell their father.
Always good to get the kids on your side, yeah, keeping secrets from daddy.
Yes, exactly. Nice. I don't see how it goes wrong in any way. But yeah, no.
So you're keeping kosher.
I'm keeping kosher.
Regardless of the alien invasion that's pending.
Yeah, it's irrelevant.
Good for you.
Thank you.
It's 6:23.
Making sense of your world.
I agree with you 100%.
News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
There's a lot of us out there.
Making sense of the news.
You sign a contract, you get a new roof from New Look Home Design. You do not.
Now.
On News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
W-M-A-L. It's such a busy morning here. Yes, we're tracking the results from the primaries yesterday. But we're also tracking the primary going on in the 10th Congressional District in Virginia this Saturday. In fact, we're going to have a ton of candidates joining us throughout the morning. Coming up in just 10 minutes, Dave Beckwith is one of your candidates. He'll be our guest. We've got Dave Bossie at 7:05. We've got the governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, joining us at 7:15. We've also got Kash Patel at 8:35 to give us an update on the Durham trial that just started with the Russian collusion hoax. That's coming up. We got Hung Cao. We got Caleb Max. We got a ton of people. And let's start, Bethany Mandel, with one of our favorites. Every Wednesday at this time, we get to check in with one of the wisest men in the Washington realm, Cal Thomas, columnist extraordinaire. Cal, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Larry and Bethany. Golly, I thought you had somebody else on when you were talking about an intelligent person.
Listen, we're very generous here.
You are.
Hey, Cal, first, before we get into politics, which, of course, is, you know, more important than anything in the world, it's our lifeblood, I have a bone to pick with you. I saw the Stephen Sondheim remake, the Steven Spielberg remake of West Side Story. I was not happy with it.
Well, you can't go wrong with the music and the lyrics, of course.
Sure.
I thought the updated version was, technologically, obviously, superior to the one made, almost 50 years ago. And I did like George Chakiris. I thought he was better in the first one and more credible. But,
I think it was Tony Kushner's book. I think that he's just a problematic writer. I don't know why Steven Spielberg uses him. His claim to fame was Angels in America, was the big epic play about HIV and AIDS through the 80s. Right. And he injected politics into West Side Story that didn't need to be there, I thought.
Well, maybe so. But there was politics if you take it to the level of the Puerto Ricans versus you get some of the same thing happening, of course. Now you got immigrants and the worry about taking over and all these other crazy theories. But look, if you want to, here's something you'll really like. Do you have Netflix?
I do.
I'm watching right now a series called Servant of the People, starring the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, who is accidentally elected president because he's teaching a history class and he's railing against corruption in Ukraine. And a kid takes a video of his comments, puts it on YouTube, and then he becomes president of Ukraine. The irony is absolutely incredible.
Wow, that sounds
it is
very
so
cool.
Funny. It is very funny.
All right. Well, thank you for the recommendation.
You're welcome. Servant of the people.
I guess, Bethany, we should probably turn to politics here at home.
I mean, I've been wondering for a while when we're going to turn to politics.
All right. Do you have any takeaways from the results as they're still trickling in? I mean, Pennsylvania's a nail-biter here.
Yeah. 95% of the vote is in. Only 0.1% separate the top two. And this is the big lesson coming out of all of these, whether the Trump-endorsed candidates win or not, some did, some didn't, is that a majority of Republicans in the Republican primaries voted for candidates other than the one endorsed by Trump. Now, is this going to have a long-term effect leading into the election in November? We don't know, but I think it says something. Even the Washington Post, which describes, of course, all Republicans as right-wing, extreme right-wing, or far-right, but Democrats don't get that kind of label. But even the Post, I think, points that out, and I think that's a major concern.
But if it's a crowded field, it's just, mathematically, more voters are going to go against the person Trump. I mean, by that equation, in 2016, the majority of Republicans didn't vote for Donald Trump himself, but he ended up winning the presidency.
Well, yeah, that's right. But of course, he didn't get the majority vote of the total number of voters. But another one, Madison Cawthorn, of course, who had all kinds of baggage with the gun on the plane and the driving without a license and the most outrageous claim of all that orgies were going on in Washington involving cocaine. And everybody knows Republicans don't have sex.
But apparently that you're leaving out the cocaine part, Cal. Do you want to?
Well, I don't have any comment on that.
All right, good. So, Bethany, save us here, will you?
So what is your sort of key takeaway on that Cawthorn thing? Do you think that voters sort of were recoiling against all of those scandals, or do you think that there was anything else sort of going
on? Well,
I do.
I think there are certain lines that were crossed there, and many of these Republicans, you know, are church-going, conservative, God-fearing, whatever label you want to put on them, and this was just a bridge too far for a lot of them. I think they could have. And he was endorsed by Trump, which you know, was kind of amazing. There were other candidates in the race who I think had the same positions on political issues, but didn't have the personal baggage that he did. I mean, his story was very sad. I mean, he was a car accident. He's 26 years old. He's in a wheelchair for life. I think that got him a lot of the sympathy vote last time around. But his behavior since being in office was. Just a no-winner.
Cal, what do you make of this ghoulish move by President Biden? Like, maybe I'm prejudicing the witness with my question. I'll play it straight. Your reaction to Joe Biden dropping everything and going to Buffalo after this mass murder that had racial implications.
Well, this fits the Democrats' narrative, of course, that America is a racist nation, that African American people can't make it on their own, they need government. 100 people were shot last summer in Chicago. Yeah. The president went to a suburb in Chicago, Lake Crystal, Illinois, and didn't give a speech on the shootings in Chicago. He gave a speech on infrastructure. People shot in Waukesha, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, the church shooting in Laguna
California,
Woods over the weekend. He doesn't go to any of those. He only goes to this because he wants to advance the narrative of white supremacy and replacement theory. Is that a problem? Yes, for some people who tune in to the certain sites on the internet. But it doesn't create jobs. It doesn't lower inflation. It doesn't improve people's investment portfolios. And it just changes the subject from his terrible record as president, economically and in foreign policy. We're sending troops back to Somalia after we withdrew them from Afghanistan. What is the purpose of all of this?
Yeah.
Why fight one group of terrorists and not the other group of terrorists who are putting women back in burqas?
But he's President Unity, Cal. Don't forget
that. Oh,
yeah. He's all about
unity.
Oh, I feel
more unified. Yeah, I feel more unified than I've felt in years.
All right, talk to you later, Cal. Thanks for the tip on the Netflix show. All right, spring is here. Let Omaha Steaks make it easy to stock up on all your grilling favorites. You got to go to omahasteaks.com, enter the code LARRYO in the search bar, and then order that spring grill pack today. By the way, I just got my Omaha Steaks box yesterday, unpacked it. And Meredith, of course, is like right at the rim of the box. What do you got? What do you got? What's in there? What's in there? What's in there? Do you know what we got in this month's box? Bacon-wrapped fillets. Bacon-wrapped. See, I'm just saying this because I know you keep kosher.
You're just teasing me now. This seems like
bacon-wrapped
fillets. This is anti-Semitism.
But no, not at all. I'm just saying. No, there's nothing anti-Semitic about bacon, for God's sake. What are you saying?
No, you're throwing it in my face. All the things I can't enjoy. And I hope that you enjoy them because it sounds delicious, as my children say.
You can get some bacon wrapped filet too, and 4 Omaha steak burgers for free, 4 boneless chicken breasts for free, and these mouthwatering filets. The delicious caramel apple tartlets. You can have caramel apple tartlets, can't you? Right, come on over some from caramel apple tartlets.
Sounds good.
Those are good stuff. You'll save 50% on all the meat in your spring grill pack, but you got to use the code LARRYO when you go to omahasteaks.com. It's omahasteaks.com. Keyword LARRYO. You can always just take the bacon off, can't you?
No.
Not even?
No.
We've got steaks without bacon, all right?
Okay.
I feel bad now.
I know. I mean, you should feel bad. That's correct.
You're not going to let me off the hook.
No, not remotely.
It's 6:40. Well, Bethany, we have been the go-to place here for anyone who wants to get to know the candidates running for the 10th Congressional District Republican nomination, as well as the 7th Congressional District, as well as in Maryland. Their primary is coming up in July. And this is it. It's crunch time in Virginia 10. The eyes of the nation will be following this primary Saturday. And so all the candidates sort of coming back for their final arguments to be made for voters. So
I love that everyone we're talking to, every candidate, is running for the same slot.
Yeah.
So we can really sort of grill them.
That's right. And so that's why you want to be here for the next couple of days. You can hear these final pitches. Here's Dave Beckwith. He's on the ballot and he joins us now. Mr. Beckwith, good to talk with you again.
Hi, Larry and Bethany. Thanks for having me on.
Well, and I guess the floor is yours. I'd love for you to sort of make your final arguments as to why you're the best Republican option to beat Jennifer Wexton in November.
Well, thank you very much. When I resigned my job at the National Reconnaissance Office in February to run for Congress, I did that because of the state of the nation, the fact that President Biden, who ran as a uniter, has done anything but unite us. And I saw the state of the country, and I felt like the skills that I had, that I developed with my experience of 30 years as an Air Force veteran, I'm an engineer, a problem solver, and I spent 13 years at the National Reconnaissance Office helping to build the most complicated billion-dollar satellites that today are helping to defend the nation and protect us. There are eyes and ears in space. And I've also spent 30-plus years leading a diverse set of workforce, developing and providing that capability from leading teams of over 1,000 people across the world, really, to get those things done. I'm also a homeschool dad. We homeschool our kids from kindergarten through high school. It's a commitment we made because we wanted to do the best things for our children. And it also, I think, gives me a great appreciation for school choice and why it's so important. I know not everyone can homeschool, so I'm a huge supporter of school choice, putting the money with the children so that parents are able to send their children to the schools that they think will provide them the best education and keep them safe.
I love it. So you're talking to two homeschool parents, and so you're preaching to the choir a little bit here. One thing I loved about your sort of about page, Dave Beckwith for Congress.com, you talk about your children with such pride. One of your children, it says, interned for the Heritage Foundation and Young Life. I love that your kids' qualifications are part of your own, because I think it really speaks to who you are. You know, how your kids turn out is very reflective of the parents that they had growing up.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm very proud of them. They all went off to college. Our two younger ones went to Virginia Tech, both live in the local area. And also, you know, my logo, if you've you mentioned it last time I was on, my Cardinal logo was actually by my daughter, who's a graphic designer. And we actually picked that logo. There's folklore about a cardinal that after you lose a loved one, and I'd lost my dad last year, a cardinal comes to visit your backyard. But I really felt like with all the challenges we've had with COVID, all the loss we've had, all the people who didn't get to go to funerals, didn't go to weddings, that the cardinal was kind of a symbol of that pain, but it's also a symbol of hope going forward. And I know we have better days ahead of us. And one of the reasons I want to go to Congress is to focus on those better days, a strong economy, rebuilding our national defense, and a freedom agenda, which is about getting the federal government out of our lives, pushing responsibility back down to states and to the people.
Two quick questions, Dave Beckwith, if we could, in our final minute. The first, have you given thought to what committees you'd like to serve on should you win this seat?
Yes, I would love to be on the Intelligence Committee. I've been told that's a tough road to get to for a freshman. But I also want to be on the Education Committee, and I also would like to get on the Homeland Security Committee and one of the Defense Committees. I think with my 30 years of experience in the Air Force and on the Intelligence Committee, there's a lot I can do on those committees, certainly more than Jennifer Wexton, who sits on high-profile committees where, as a lawyer, she's not really qualified. I think I bring both the experience and the qualifications to represent District 10 well.
And finally, back to Virginia 10 and what's, you know, most critical there. As you know, the education issue, and you've already mentioned education a couple of times and your priority with regard to school choice. What's your top priority in terms of addressing those needs from the House of Representatives?
Well, the number one priority I will have is inflation. I believe that is an existential threat to both District 10 and the nation. And I'll be working on making the Trump tax cuts permanent, getting rid of regulations, stopping the spending, which is causing huge amounts of pressure on inflation, and then getting our energy and oil flowing across the economy, really flooding the economy with American energy.
Well, it is the final countdown. We've got 3 days until the primary this Saturday. Dave Beckwith for Congress.com is where you go for all the information. And, sir, good luck on Election Day.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Bethany. I really appreciate you having me on and all you've done for this race. Thanks.
It's literally our pleasure. Thank you, sir. It's 6:54.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.